So how's the market doing today? If you're one of the millions of us who have a little or a lot of their money tied up in the stock market, the rise and fall of the Dow can be a matter of real interest. So you might want to hear these five big ideas from someone who's been on the front lines of Wall Street for decades, financial reporter Bob Pisani. Bob is the senior markets correspondent for CNBC and has covered Wall Street from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange for 25 years. He shares what he's learned during that time in his new book, Shut Up and Keep Talking, Lessons on Life and Investing from the Floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Here's Bob.
Hi, I'm Bob Pisani, senior markets correspondent for CNBC. I've been with the network for 32 years, 25 of those years reporting on the stock market from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. My book, Shut Up and Keep Talking, Lessons on Life and Investing from the Floor of the New York Stock Exchange, is about what I've learned and some of the celebrities I've met who came here to ring the opening and closing bells, celebrities like Aretha Franklin, Robert Downey Jr., and Barry Manilow. I'm going to share with you five key investing insights from my book. Insight number one, get rich slow is better than get rich quick. Forget about picking a hot stock and then cashing out. That's called market timing, and it usually doesn't work. You have to be right picking the stock, and then you have to find the right time to sell, and almost nobody ever gets that right. Instead, most professional advisors will tell you to stay invested in broad index funds that track the overall stock market, like the S&P 500, and resist the urge to sell when markets are down. You're not trying to beat the market here. You're just trying to stay with the market because long-term, the market tends to go up. That's what Warren Buffett advises most investors to do. In 1997, he made a bet with a hedge fund manager. The bet was this. Over a 10-year period commencing January 1st, 2008 and ending December 31st, 2017, a 10-year period, the S&P 500 would outperform a portfolio of several hedge funds that picked stocks. Buffett easily won the bet. The group of hedge funds had an average return of only 36% net of fees over that 10-year period, while the S&P 500 index fund had a return of 125%. In the past 20 years, the rise of low-cost exchange-traded funds, or ETFs as they're called, have made it easy to invest in the broad market at a very low cost. And low cost is the key to long-term investing success, because when you have to pay high fees, it eats into your long-term profits. Have a long-term plan to diversify your assets among stocks, bonds, and the home you own. Insight number two, stocks are the best long-term investment, but they don't go up or outperform every year. You know, it's a remarkable fact. Since 1926, the overall stock market has been up 3 out of 4 years. The average increase in the stock market every year is about 10% a year. That's including dividends. Over a very long period of time, research indicates that's a better return than just about any other investment. Now, why do stocks tend to go up? They go up because we live in a capitalist society. The U.S. has a particular brand of capitalism it practices called market capitalism, where private individuals and corporations control most of the means of production. Market capitalism is a very efficient allocator of capital. Its primary concern is producing a profit, and it passes those profits on to shareholders. Other countries also have capitalist economies, but many, like many countries in Europe, have large parts of the economy controlled by the state. State-controlled enterprises are typically less profitable. Insight number three, you may be able to take more risk than you realize. I often hear it said, I can't afford to have 75% of my retirement fund in stocks. I won't be able to sleep at night. But even if you have 75% of your retirement fund in stocks, it doesn't mean you have 75% of your assets in stocks. Think of your assets in three broad buckets. You have a retirement fund like a 401k, you have the home you own, and you have Social Security. Let's say you have $250,000 in your retirement fund. Let's say your home is paid off and it's worth $250,000. And let's say you collect $20,000 a year in Social Security. That's about the average per year. Over 25 years, a $20,000 a year Social Security check will be worth over $500,000. And remember, Social Security is an annuity that adjusts every year for inflation. So let's add this up. $250,000 in a retirement portfolio, $250,000 in your house, and $500,000 in Social Security receipts over 25 years. Add it up, you have a $1 million portfolio. But only 25% of that is in a retirement fund that has 75% stocks. So think about this. You don't have 75% of your wealth in stocks. You only have about 18% in stocks. With that knowledge, you may be able to feel more comfortable with a higher allocation to stocks. Insight number 4. Everyone is really bad at predicting the future, and there's a reason for that. Have you ever noticed that everyone is bad at predicting the future? Amateur stock pickers are terrible at picking stocks, but professional stock pickers have a terrible record of picking stocks as well. Economists have a terrible record of predicting the economy. Even the Federal Reserve, with the best economists in the world, don't have a good record of forecasting the U.S. economy. Why is that? Why is everyone so bad at predicting the future? There's two main problems. First, predictions are riddled with bias that limit the quality of those predictions. There's emotional biases, for example, that come from feelings, like overconfidence. You come to believe you're infallible because you've been right the last few times. That's overconfidence. There's cognitive errors. These are errors that come from faulty reasoning. So, for example, people will often jump to conclusions based on limited information that they have. They don't question the quality of the information and whether other information might be missing. There's also what is known as a confirmation bias. So people select information that only supports their own point of view. They ignore information that contradicts it. These biases and dozens of others like them make it very difficult to make accurate predictions. The other problem, the second big problem, is a lack of complete information because events occur that are unpredictable and can affect the outcomes. So think about trying to predict where the price of a stock will be 1 year from now. Every company has millions of different variables, each of which can affect the outcome. Some factors may be predictable, but many are not. So, for example, the economy may face new shocks or surprises like inflation or a rise in interest rates or a war that disrupts critical supplies or a cyber attack. The company itself may face a new competitor. It may be bought out or engage in an unforeseen merger. The visionary CEO might fall ill and suddenly retire. All of these variables add up to make it really difficult to predict the future. Think about that next time you think you can outsmart the market. Insight number 5. Professional stock pickers aren't bad at picking stocks because they're stupid. They're bad because the competition is so tough. The evidence is overwhelming. When fees are taken into account, 90% of fund managers underperform their benchmarks after 10 years. 90%. It's not because they're dumb, just the opposite. Decades ago, most trading was done by individuals with each other. Information was tougher to come by. Some were better informed than others. But today, most trading is done by professionals like mutual funds and pension funds. All of these people have access to roughly the same amount of information at the same time. Most don't have any informational or time advantages. That makes it very difficult for any one professional to outperform another. And those that do usually don't outperform consistently. Very few will ever put together a string of outperforming years. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Bob. That was Bob Pisani with 5 big ideas from Shut Up and Keep Talking, lessons on life and investing from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. For more market insights, check out our book bite for Nothing But Net, 10 timeless stock picking lessons from one of Wall Street's top tech analysts by Mark Mahaney. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.